resources you need at knowhowtogo.org.
Brought to you by the American Council on Education, Lumina Foundation for Education, and the Ad Council.
WOL Washington, D.C. W240DJ Washington. 95.9 WMMJ HD3 Bethesda. WKYS HD3 Washington. WPRS HD3 Waldorf, and worldwide at WOLDCNews.com.
The following program is paid for by Barbara Arnwine.
The topics, views, and opinions expressed on the air and via All Igniting Change with Barbara Arnwine, platforms by host Barbara Arnwine Esquire, guests, and supporters are their own and are independent of any organization, entity. Nothing said on the show or any of its platforms constitutes a client-attorney relationship or serves as legal advice, counsel. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to Igniting Change, its platforms, or the show's host. It's time now for Igniting Change, a weekly provocative and empowering program where you, the listener, can ignite change. Now here's your host, Barbara Arnwine.
Get up, stand up.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Igniting Change. We welcome you from all over the country to our radio show today. We have some important stories and issues to cover, and we are just so glad that you're here. I want to, definitely start off this morning by issuing a note of sorrow and grief and sadness for all of those who have been affected by the Key Bridge collapse in Baltimore. Our love to BMOR is strong, and we are just devastated by the destruction of the bridge, the lives, and the cars, and the terror that people are experiencing. Our hearts just go out, and we hope that everyone will be safe ultimately. And we stand with the families in grief for those who are lost. So with that said, let me turn to my co-host, who is from Maryland, has done so much work in Baltimore, and he is, of course, one of the amazing leaders of the Transformative Justice Coalition, one of the nation's top attorneys. I am so glad to welcome to our show none other than Daryl D. Jones. Hey, Daryl.
Hey, Barbara. It must be Tuesday. It must be noon because we're talking about igniting change. But, you know, Barbara, as you said, you know, if you're in the Baltimore area, as I am, your mind is a little taken aback. And you're sort of refocused because to watch the collapse of that bridge as it was hit by that barge is just, I just crossed that bridge not too many days ago. And, you know, it's one of those things where, you say there, but for the grace of God, could go I crossing that bridge of one of the cars that ended up in the water. So our hearts, our minds, our thoughts, our prayers all should be and must be with the families of anyone that has been lost and those that are being searched for. Just, there's just so much tragedy that's there, Barbara.
Absolutely. And we want to, just again, extend our grief. Yes, Daryl.
But Barbara, and I know that, a large part of this, we're seeing the first responders on call. Right, doing what they do, what they're paid to do, what many of them done and prepared for most of their career. So, certainly we're very thankful to have those good first responders that are there. Yes. But we have some other first responders we need to talk about too, Barbara.
I mean, and they're on our call today, and we are so grateful for them. We have a full show for you today, people, because we're talking about three really critical cases involving hate, H-A-T-E, outright evil, vicious hate. You've been watching the news and you've heard about the goon squad in Mississippi and the sentences that these six vicious white police officers have received. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the Brain Cave. Oh, yes, we're back to that subject again, that torture black site chamber that was used in Baton Rouge to Louisiana. Yes, person. Yes, everybody. Another state to terrorize people. But we're not going to stop there. We're going to also return to the story that we've been covering for years now, and that is the story of Ahmaud Arbery slain by the three, you know, white haters who are now convicted murderers who have the nerve to be appealing their racist hate crime convictions and saying that, you know, that they are innocent and that they should be vindicated and that they should never have been convicted. Well, we're going to talk about that. So I am so happy, Daryl, for us to welcome our guests, and we'll let you proceed to bring our guests on.
Thanks so much, Barbara. You know, we have just two really wonderful guests, many wonderful guests, I should say, that are with us. But today, you know, we certainly have the distinct pleasure of welcoming two attorneys to the set. And we have Attorney Thompson as well as Attorney Funken. I think we may even have Attorney Mawuli Davis with us. Are all three attorneys present? Attorney Thompson, are you with us? Okay. Attorney Davis. Okay, Barbara, you there?
Yes, I have no idea how to explain that. You know, hopefully our guests will be joining us and will. Right, you have the two young people. That's odd. I wonder where our attorneys are. We will, find out. And Daryl, why don't you bring up Adarian and bring up the mighty Destiny Jackson, and I will put in a call to find out where our guests are. Thank you.
Okay, fantastic. And, you know, as we were saying a little earlier, you know, tomorrow there will be an appeal hearing in Atlanta in the case, in federal case of Ahmaud Arbery and his killers, the McMichaels, Travis and Gregory McMichael, as well as William Roddy Bryant. They were convicted in the federal court of a federal hate crime and sentenced to two of them sentenced to life. And then William Roddy Bryant, who was not one of the trigger people, but one of the neighbors who joined in the attack. And the chase and killing of Ahmaud Arbery was then sentenced to a substantial 30-year sentence in prison as well. Well, you know, there's an appeal that's going to be heard in the federal court now tomorrow at 9 a.m. in Atlanta, Georgia. And two of the people that are going to be at that rally and at that hearing to stand watch and be in prayer and in attendance with the family are Clarence Adarian Fambro and Destiny Jackson. And those two folks are with us here today. Welcome back to Igniting Change, Destiny and Darian. Welcome back.
Thank you so much for having me. It is a pleasure to be on set for today, and I'm so excited to be discussing, things that are happening in the world today, and most of all, being able to be, you know, at the rally tomorrow with the Transformative Justice Coalition, you know, advocating for Ahmaud Arbery.
And, you know, Destiny, you go by the nickname DD, so I'm going to call you DD. DD, you're a student down there in Georgia. Is that correct, in Atlanta?
Yes. Yes, that is correct. I am a political science major with a minor in writing at the illustrious Spelman College.
Okay. And, you know, when you heard that the appeal was occurring in the Ahmaud Arbery case, you actually took some steps to try to get your class to be released to go to attend this hearing. Can you tell folks why you wanted to do that and why you thought that was important?
Yes, of course. I think it's very important, especially as me being a member of a historically black institution, but not even just that, the number one HBCU in the country. I think it's very important for me to, you know, Spelman's motto is a choice to change the world. How can we change the world if we're not actively out
you know, advocating for major problems that are happening across the world, but those that are impacting people like us. So I, when I saw that, especially because of the fact that, I am a political science major, I was like, okay, I need to make sure that I'm getting my class out there. And most of all, literally the rally is happening in the middle of my class. So I said, okay, it's one thing to sit in the classroom and talk about things, you know, and, you know, talk about, you know, politics and law in class, but to actually be on the ground when things are literally happening in the midst of our time that we're alive, I think, you know, these are moments that we can't take back. So I had to make sure that, you know, my class was able to be there.
And, you know, Adarian, you're a student, a senior over at Morehouse University there in Atlanta as well. Why did you decide that it was important for you to attend the hearing and this rally for Ahmaud Arbery and to try to keep his killers incarcerated?
Well, if I must quote the path to follow after my Selma sister, that destiny, to quote our motto is in Latin is e factus ex lux, and that means it, and then there was light. We have a responsibility at Morehouse to be the light. And this right here is a prime example of this appeal to the hearing for our fallen brother Ahmaud Arbery to make sure that we stand up for him here at this appeal hearing. And it's how fitting it is that we are still fighting for justice in the city that I believe is the late Mayor Mayor Hartsfield here in Atlanta that made the statement that Atlanta was a city too busy to hate. And through the years, we have shown that that was nothing but a bold-faced lie, and how fitting it is to stand and still be fighting for justice in the city that is allegedly too busy to hate. So we all have a responsibility, but me especially being a man of my house, I have a responsibility to be the light.
That's awesome, Adarian. We are just so happy that you and Destiny, you know, are here. And we've been joined by one of our attorneys, I understand. And did I understand that Attorney Thompson has joined us?
That is correct, ma'am. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, sir. Thank you so much for being on our show today. We're so glad you're here. Now, we're talking about hate, and we're talking about Mississippi. We're talking about the Baton Rouge brothers. We're talking about the Ahmaud Arbery case. You know, two of those cases directly involve, you know, police engaging in heinous evil actions of racial hate and brutality against African-American people. And the other involves private citizens who weren't attached to law enforcement and thought they were law enforcement, and who brutally also, you know, murdered an innocent young black man. So we want to ask you, you know, we've been talking about the Brave case. We've been talking about this black site that was used to torture innocent black people. And it is just, you know, really has torn at our hearts. Can you bring us up to date? Because something special happened in this case on Friday. Tell us what's going on, Mr. Attorney Thompson.
Well, let me first extend my apologies for being late. You know, as an attorney, as you know, you extend your apologies to the courts for not being on time. So let me first apologize to you guys for not being on time this morning. I was in court. Yes, thank you for asking that question. Last we spoke, I had kind of alluded to another case that I was going to file, which we did, which is the Varnado Rabbi case. In this case, you had a family, a single mother and her three sons, one of them 17, 15, and 11, who were taken to the Brave Cave. The mother was unconstitutionally strip searched, body cavity searched. The 11-year-old, that was in Louisiana, we call it a sexual battery. The officer strip searched him and performed a sexual battery on him. The 15-year-old was choked by a senior official inside of what they call a holding cell, and then subsequently another officer rendered him unconscious with his walkie-talkie. The 17-year-old was hit in the face by multiple times by what you would consider a SWAT team. So we filed suit on their behalf, and currently there is a restraining order that was granted against the officer who committed the sexual battery against the 11-year-old, because that officer is also a school resource officer at that child's school.
Mm.
So fast forwarding. Let me say this. I want your listeners to know that when Alex